am the entertainer, and I know just where I stand. Another serenader and another long-haired band. Today I am your champion. I may have won your hearts, but I know the game, you'll forget my name, and I won't be here in another year if I don't stay on the charts. Ooh. I am the entertainer, and I've had to pay my price. The things I did not know at first, I learned by doing twice. Ah, but still they come to haunt me, still they want their say. So I've learned to dance with a hand in my pants, let them rub my neck, and I write them a check, and they go their merry way.
I'm back in my mind. Hello. This is Mona and Noah Save the World, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts, Freeform Radio. Hi, Noah.
Hi, Mona.
Noah and I switched chairs today, and I feel very powerful.
I feel very powerless.
This is like a good social experiment. I mean, it's a pretty obvious answer. If you're behind the operator, you know, if you have the control, you're like, mwahaha. Power.
I don't think I'm typically all mwahaha.
You know, mwahaha is my MO.
It's Halloween, weekend, everybody's in the ha-ha-ha.
You know, yeah, spirit. The mwahaha spirit is definitely where I am at this Halloween weekend.
I'm glad.
I also can't believe that I've reached the point in my life when I say Halloween weekend very, like, with no irony. Yes, Halloween weekend. Yeah. I know I will look back and be like, wow.
Earlier it was the Halloween week.
That
I use the term Halloween. Huh? Because Halloween was on a Thursday, so what are you gonna do?
There was a lot going on Thursday.
Probably.
I was not involved, but I witnessed some of it and I was like, whoa. It was mayhem in the streets.
In the streets. The streets of Tufts.
I mean, it was just like costumes everywhere.
Yeah. A couple of kids wore costumes to class. That's pretty cool. Pretty sweet.
So cute. I was, oh my gosh, who was I telling that? I feel like Halloween is one of the few holidays where like it's really big. How do I say this? Where like there's big traditions both as a kid and like older.
True, it's age inclusive. But it's in different ways.
But like in totally different ways. Like as a kid, Halloween is so big because you're like trick or treating.
Yeah.
And then like once you're no longer treating, Halloween becomes so big because you're like
Halloween
party. Party.
Yeah. And then like young adults go back to like trick or treating, but this time with their kids. Or just like couples. I feel like, I feel like the first 5 years of having a kid, you dress up, and then you're like, that's too much work. I'm just going to...
I feel like my parent... Oh, no, my mom would... No, my dad, too. Yeah, actually, no, I'm... Yeah.
They would dress up and take you trick-or-treating?
They wouldn't dress up related to us.
Oh.
They would kind of just like...
It wasn't like a family cause. They would be like witches.
Yeah, my
doctors,
mom.
Doctors.
My mom did send me a picture of her witch hat that she wore on Thursday to teach her class, and she said it made her feel very... authoritative, like she was like teaching at Hogwarts.
Well,
which is actually a good lead-in.
Yeah, that leads in.
That's
amazingly
a great lead-in.
Mona, we are naturals at
this. This is my career. This is who I am.
Today we want to talk about masks and identities and what is the self, where does it come from? Mm-hmm. Sort of like, are we always just pretending to be more idealized versions of ourselves? All those types of things.
Yeah, I love the connection to masks.
Yeah.
You know,
which
Halloween.
To me makes is good for
and
Halloween.
Even just moving away from masks, but just like costumes in general, I feel.
Yeah, the way we present ourselves is often I'm like, oh, I look too much like a hipster today. I'm not I like don't actually feel like I vibe with that. And so I'm like, let me change something up. Or like, I can't buy those shoes. They're too not me. It's like, how could commodity fetishism, Mona?
How familiar are you with Irvin Goffman, Noah?
How pretentious?
Not in a pretentious way.
Say like the works. Like say the
Irvin Goffman, listen, I took a class my senior year of high school called From Page to Stage, which was about as extra as it sounds. And it was really like, it was a lot about, you know, identity and theater and stuff. And Irvin Goffman came up a lot because his whole thing is basically like, you're always performing. All the world's a stage. Like, literally, like, you are always. And like, it's funny because, and I now I'm taking a lot of sociology classes here. And like, he's so big in like sociology where it's like, you know, these fancy quote-unquote like legitimate academic sociological terms like front stage, backstage, props, like who are your props in real life, costumes, your roles, like the different roles you play, Yeah, the idea, like, is there a backstage? Are you always, like, because, like, you're performing? Yeah, like, your home is sort of a backstage, but, like, it's sort of not.
Because you set expectations for yourself on how you want to behave, and so you're always trying to, like, impress yourself or, like, fulfill your expectations of yourself, which, like, where does, like, why can't I just be happy with who I am and, like, the things I'm doing? Why do I always want to be doing more or, like, be slightly better, you know? The great question.
The classic overachiever question. But it's also interesting because I'm in this English class right now, and it's a lot of it's about, like, the construction of identity. So I could just hear my teacher's voice in my head. Like, if you had said that in class, he would have said something like, of course, now I already forget what you said. But it was, you know, something like, well, what do you mean, who am I? Like, are you... Like, the idea is, like, is it true that we have this, like, core authentic identity and, like, everything else is covering that? Or, like...
Is there no core?
Yeah, is that just how identity is?
Is identity only the actions that we perform?
Yeah.
And the things that we think and the words that we say?
Yeah, and those can create, like, an identity, but, like, the idea that, like, you have your true identity and it's covered up by your fake identity, like, what makes one true and one fake?
I think...
tell me your thoughts.
I think it's more like, is it Aristotle who has ideals, or is it Plato?
Yeah, one of them.
Do not care. Pretty much, somebody was like, when you think of a tree, there's, like, an ideal tree. And even if not every tree is like that tree, like, you still have this concept of what this perfect thing would be.
A perfect tree, yeah.
And so you have this concept for yourself and for other people of what a sort of perfect form would be. And oftentimes reality is not in line. Like, not every tree has those that green squiggly, like, leafy foliage. In fact, most trees don't.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oftentimes I feel like when I look in the mirror, I'm like, I didn't realize I actually look like that. I actually feel like I have a much better concept of what other people look like because I see them all the time than, like, what I myself
look
like.
Yeah, no, that's true. I feel like there's always a time when, like, the other day I was wearing a bright pink shirt and it was very comfortable. Like, I just didn't really think about it. And, like, I went about my day totally normal. And then, like, I went to the bathroom and looked in the mirror and I was like, my shirt is hot pink. And it's funny because when I wasn't thinking about it, I'm sure it seemed fine.
Yeah.
But then once I was so self-conscious of it, like, what you...
A big part of my identity, I feel, is my hair. And it's typically, like, very large and crazy.
You got it
and
cut recently.
I did get it cut pretty recently.
But so long.
And sometimes, like, I've started to see myself as having short hair again. But, like, for a while I didn't. And oftentimes I would, like, go throughout the day being like, I look good. Like, my hair is all nice. Everything's good. And I would look in a mirror and I'd be like, my hair is a mess. And I was like, is this what I look like? How do people see me? How do people interact with me? Very self-conscious, but...
Well, that's... Oh, my gosh. This is... I'm sure you've talked about this in some sort of, like, philosophy thing. But, like, do people look... Do you look the same to different people? Like...
There are...
Whoa. I just thought of that.
Have you ever had these moments where you're looking at somebody and you realize their face is, like, a... classic face, like, you realize that they look like maybe somebody from a TV show, or, like, for some reason their face is, like, standard in a way, and you're like, I never, and you can, like, see it, and it's almost like one of those optical illusions where, like, the picture switches, like, of the old woman and the young girl. It's like that, and you see it in one moment and you see, like, the face that you usually see, and then, like, you look again and it's, like, this face, and you're like,
Oh, so weird.
Just have that type of face.
So weird.
Very strange.
But I wonder, like I'm so curious. Like, I wonder, like, if you look the same to me as you do to other people. Like, there's no way of knowing.
Well, there's this idea in linguistics that sort of names are just a means of, like, referencing a bunch of attributes of somebody more so. And so, like, a name... Like, when you say Noah to 10 different people who know me, they probably all think very different thing, like something generally similar, but they all think different things and have a different mental image of like who I am. I think people see each other differently, but physically probably the same.
I know, but I'm saying like what, like how do, there's no way of knowing that like my image of you, I mean, isn't that also the same, like that's with the same like thing of like colors. The mirror.
Oh, I was gonna say
when you with like do people see colors?
Yeah, like is a red strawberry, like to me red is like, well, how do you describe a color?
Oh my god,
it's
stop.
Just the color red, you know. What if other people's red is my blue?
Oh, so
it would be
terrifying.
So strange. But also,
but
like,
isn't that the thing
knows?
Where it's like you use no way to know what you actually look like because you only see yourself in mirrors and videos and stuff, like your face.
You only see it flipped.
Yeah, but I feel like, and then people are like, what if it looks so different than, and
it?
That I don't get, because I'm like, well, other people can stand next to you in a mirror and see your face in the mirror and they're not like,
yes.
What is that? Yeah, weird reflection. Like you look.
Your reflection is just light bouncing off of a mirror and reflecting you. Like, it's just light.
Like I'm never like, change. Oh no, I can't see my own face for real. Like I feel like I see it.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it right now. In the
How
window.
Do you feel about it?
Ah, she's so beautiful, you know?
Oh, I'm glad. I'm
no,
glad.
It's, yeah, I look, yeah, I mean, I look a little tired.
Yeah, big
it's
tired
classic.
Vibes.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah.
The semester is, like, kind of getting close to an end somehow.
It's so weird. I'm so
Nobody is ready for it. I don't think anybody's mentally in that place.
No.
But, like, professors are like, yeah, let's talk about the final
Oh my god.
Let's talk about this 10-page final paper you didn't know you had until today.
No.
For my negotiations class.
Cruel.
I knew there was a final paper. I did not know it was
10 pages
long and needed to reference all of the readings that I've definitely been doing all semester.
No.
It's great out here, Mona.
That's oh dear.
Oh dear indeed.
Oh dear is all I have to say.
So, at the beginning of this episode,
yes,
we played the song The Entertainer by Billy Joel, a classic.
Icon.
And I think something that I've heard a lot in, I know, the school of ideas that exists, is how, especially in the U.S., people's identities are based around their jobs. And, like, the first question we always ask people is, like,
what do you do?
Because that's... Because we spend so much time with the things that we do, with our jobs. Like, all of our lives are spent doing our jobs. And here at college, it's like, what's your major? What are you going to do for the rest of your life?
Haha. Oh my gosh, I was in a comedy show yesterday, and, sorry, this is... Shout out to TFL. But at the after party, everyone was like... We gotta make it. Like, we gotta break out. Like, that was very much the vibe of the after party. It was like...
In the comedy
You gotta
scene?
Be on... Yeah. And I was like...
I didn't know people were committed.
Yeah, people were like... You know what I mean? Like, I would go to someone and be like, you belong on SNL. And they would come to me and be like, you, SNL. Like, it is also funny that, like, SNL is, like, the only kind of, like, sketch comedy... group, like it's like SNL or nothing. You're either gonna be on SNL or no one's gonna get
maybe some cheap late night
I guess what's
talk show.
Second City is like the feeder into SNL, but it's known as the feeder into SNL. It's not like I mean in Chicago I guess this is something. Sorry, not to derail from The Entertainer by Billy Joel. I was just thinking about that because I thought it was
it's strange how like our identities are tied. It makes sense that our identities would be tied to the thing that we spend a lot of time doing, but like a lot of people hate their jobs, and like a lot of people like the whole thing is like ultimately in life you're gonna do the job that you didn't want to do unless you go to college and succeed, you know. It's like you either go to college and want to do a job that college can prepare you for, but even then it's like a lot of people here like are in majors and like it's not like there's like a perfect job waiting for them. It's like I'll be able to apply a lot of the skills I learned, but also like I didn't envision this as the thing I would be doing for the rest of my life.
Yeah, and I feel like even with on-campus jobs, like jobs college students have, there's like such a it's like so clear when someone is doing a job because they want to do it and it aligns with their interest. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, maybe it's helpful to also like,
typically that's
you know, to
internship.
Make money. Yeah, but it, like when it's just like, it makes me sad. Like it's clear when people are just doing a job
for the money.
For the money. Like it's like, I teach piano on the mm-hmm. weekends and like, I mean, I wouldn't have, I guess it's a stretch to say I would have done it even if it wasn't paid. But mm-hmm. like, I really enjoy it. Like, and the part, the fact that it's paid is like separate from that. Like, mm-hmm. I really enjoy the work. But it's sad because some of my coworkers
hate it.
And I'm like, this is just it's like a shame. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. especially like, you know, something like working with kids, like, that's like,
yeah, if you're not into that, like, everybody can tell.
Well, the weird thing is, I mean, also, I guess it's like kind of a cultural thing to like complain about your job, because like, mm-hmm. I would not have guessed, like, there's some of them are like kind of into it, and then they're like, no, like, I can't. Ugh, like, it's so much. And I'm like, I like it.
It definitely is a weird cultural thing to hate your job.
Yeah. It's very much a thing.
Very frustrating to me, because I'm like, if you hate your job, then we should all like not have to do it. We should all change the system.
Yeah. I'm curious what function it serves for everyone to hate their jobs. Because wouldn't, under, you know, a capitalist system, wouldn't it ever be good for everyone to love their jobs?
Well, no. I think the idea is that people need or desperate for employment.
Mm.
And like, it doesn't benefit an employer to make you like your job if you need the job.
Mm.
If you're willing to do anything,
then it doesn't really matter.
Then the quality will be terrible.
Sad.
Big sad.
Sad. Okay, well, Billy Joel
is like, I am the entertainer, it's what I do. Mm-hmm. Everybody expects these things of me, and I like have to do them, otherwise I'll become irrelevant and like mm-hmm. fall behind. But also like, I don't even know, but like, it's not what I want to be. He's like, I wrote this great song, but in order for it to sell, they had to cut it down.
Aww.
And it's like, true, that is the music industry. But also, like, who is Billy Joel then, you know? Like, mm-hmm. who is, the public will obviously see one thing, and then personally, I'm sure Billy Joel sees himself in a very different way.
Have we talked a lot? I was like, hey, now I like don't even, we're such veterans now, Noah, that like, I don't even know what we've talked about and haven't talked about. Have we talked about like the commercialization of art and like it's, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's such an, I feel like that must come up.
Well, in our modern art discussion,
yeah.
we talked about how like what we define as art and our expectations for the world, because we were talking about like nature mm-hmm. pieces, and we're like, nature is like not these beautiful cherry blossoms falling over the water. Nature is like, I know, like everything.
A tree, yeah.
Everything. Everything is really nature.
But I think it's so interesting, like, I feel like it must be, I don't know, I'm not a famous artist, but I feel like it must be, I feel like it's an interesting balance, because like, with mainstream commercialization, you're able to reach so many people, and you're able to, you know, in that way make a bigger impact, but like, at the cost of making your stuff mainstream and commercially viable.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, what are you gonna do?
Is the artist that sells out, because we're always like, oh, they're no longer their true selves.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
again, what is their true selves?
They did, I mean, obviously probably coerced economically, make the decision to like change their art. But mm-hmm. like, I assume some people stick by their art and then they might start.
Wait, I want to table this conversation because I feel like it would be good as its own episode, because there's so much music we will play. Like, I just thought of so many examples.
Fair.
Should we table?
Sounds good.
Tabled. Well, coming soon to Nimona and Noah Save the World, a conversation about
selling out. Nice.
Perfect.
Maybe we have our own ways of selling out.
Oh, yeah. I fully identify as a sellout. Like, I never say. I'm like, yep. I mean, without, you know, not really, but I mean, it's, again, like, that idea of, like, other people's expectations and, like, how, you know, the idea that like more people will, I guess in this case it's not commercial, but it's like more people will like you if
or like
XYZ,
your message will reach, like mm-hmm. what if you're a politician and you're like trying to reach more people, mm-hmm. and it's like, let me dilute my ideals, and then over time
that's such
you
I feel
have
like that's
no
such
ideals.
A hard yeah
or like you're like in order to get elected I need to like you do not need to take companies' money, politicians.
Yeah.
If you have good ideas and people care about you, then you don't need any super PACs.
I really hope. I hope that's true.
But, like, when people change their ideals, like, then are they like? I feel like people get lost. But like, what does it mean if you get lost? Because like, it's not like you're not living your life, making a decision every mm-hmm. day. This is where it's like, do you have a core identity, or like, should you be judged for all the things that you do? Should you be judged for your actions and your words? And even if you wish things had gone differently, it's still the things that you did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wish I went to the gym every day, but I don't. So, like, I can't pretend like I did, and, like, I can't be mad that I don't have this perfect physique, because, like, I'm not putting in the work.
That's such a hard one for me personally, because I feel like I know so many people who do a lot of quote-unquote good things who I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people who, you know, are just living their quote-unquote, again, authentic
lives.
Peaceful, simple lives. And I'm like, yeah, I would take you any day over this person who
Is artificial.
But then I'm like, but, you know, if you think about, like, this systematic impact of that artificial person is like positive.
Yeah.
And but like I hate that.
And like we for some reason it always feels like people who are doing too much and are too good, that can never be
mm-hmm.
like that's never authentic.
No.
People are always faking it if they're good
yeah.
people.
I was literally just thinking about this. I was like, sometimes there are certain people who just get on my nerves until they finally like admit a vulnerability or like kind of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, okay, now I can like accept you. But the people who just, and this might be a little,
perfect.
Yeah, and continue it, just, you know, like, I'm like, but it's also, oh my God, like I knew, especially in my high school, so many people who were like so talented, so high achieving, and were doing, again, like really good, you know, we're interning at hospital, like doing good mm-hmm. work. We're just like total jerks. And I was like, I don't know, like, is this, I was like, I feel like it's a conflict for me, because I'm like, do I just, is it just a me problem? Like, am I just annoying? Like, do I just, like, not like this person for, like, kind of silly reasons, or,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, I see you trying to find a PSA that connects to this.
Yeah, I think
this is definitely
this is a good one.
It's not related, but it's good.
I think it is related, and we'll tie it back in.
Okay, we'll tie it back
in. After this message. Dried fruit. Looking for some sweet, great tasting snacks that are also healthy for you? Try eating dried fruits. Dried figs, apples, cherries, bananas, apricots, peaches, pears, pineapples, raisins, cranberries, prunes, blueberries, mangoes, and oh so many other fruits are both tasty and good for you. Many dried fruits are an excellent natural source of cancer-fighting dietary fiber. Read the labels to understand which brands have added sugars, preservatives, and other ingredients. But no matter what, eating pretty much any kind of fruit is going to be better for you than candy or a processed snack. A public service message from all the fruits and nuts here at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Oh, there's a lot to unpack there.
A lot.
There's a lot to unpack in that
I feel like sugary
BSA.
Fruits, not a good look. Like, bad for you. They are candy at
no,
that point.
No, wait. Let's take a few steps. Okay.
Dried fruit,
yes.
That is covered in sugar is
oh, bad.
Just candy.
Yes, okay, yes. I thought you meant sugary isn't naturally
oh, no.
sugar. Naturally
if
sugar.
It has a good amount of fiber
oh,
to balance
no,
out the sugar.
Oh, no, you're completely correct that, yeah, sugar, frosted, dried, whatever is just...
Maybe it's a bad idea to argue with the PSAs, but...
No, why shouldn't we argue with the PSAs?
Fight the system, Mona.
Yeah, you're so interesting, Noah. Sometimes you're like, fight the system, and then other times you're like...
We can't do that.
Yeah.
Find
you feel like
counts.
You pick and choose.
Pick your battles.
Yeah, but what? This is like a interesting thing to discuss. No one from WMFO is going to be like, oh my God, like.
Your show is banned. You win against the PSA bylaws.
Okay, but my point is also that, aren't there studies about how dried fruit kind of sucks a lot of the nutrients,
a lot of the nutrients out
of fruit?
Just eat fruit and vegetables. It's not that hard.
Like, I like dried fruit, but I'm like, it's aware like, that it's like not as good for you as,
yeah,
you know, it's not a substitute for fresh fruit.
So wait, how about this? Looking for some sweet, great tasting snacks that are also healthy for you? Try eating fresh fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
Figs, apples, cherries, bananas.
I guess they're right that dried fruit is better than no fruit.
Yeah, it's better than like.
But if you're gonna
Snickers,
if you're already like, I don't know. I feel like if you are already trying to form a new eating habit, like why not
just go with fruit.
They're gonna put all the
it's
effort.
It's also like typically expensive. Mm-hmm. I feel like dried fruit is pricey.
Can we talk about the added sugar industry, Noah?
Terrible, Mona.
I'm on a situation with this.
Like, me too.
I don't know why. Suddenly, I'm like super into this. Maybe it's because I'm like a cool young college student. But suddenly, I'm like,
why is sugar in every single food?
It's in everything. It's so terrifying. And I've tried over the summer and like attempting into the semester. Like I've tried to cut as much as I can. Mm-hmm. But now I'm so much more sensitive to it. And like, you know, like a lot of the like stir fries in DeWick are sweet for no reason. They have no reason to be as sweet as they are.
There are so many flavors out there. Not everything needs to be sweet.
It's so terrifying. And like, it's also scary how quickly you get accustomed to a certain baseline and then you can't taste it.
Yeah.
And then once that baseline is dropped, you're like, this is so sweet.
Another big thing that I feel is like, why are children told that they should hate fruits and vegetables and should only like candy? Like I feel like it is our culture and like in kids TV shows, like kids are portrayed just automatically as like hating
it's
broccoli.
Not inherent. And it's like not an inherent
thing. That is a taught thing.
Yeah.
Kids don't hate
broccoli.
Going
along with our like construction of identity, it's not like you just wake up like it's
all programmed.
Like my parents were always so confused by kids' meals because they were like, when we were growing up not in America, a kid's meal was a smaller portion
of an adult meal.
There was not like, okay, maybe you didn't like one or two, you know what I mean? But there was not a separate menu for children. Like that's ridiculous. So
yeah,
they were just always
kids menus
so confused by that concept.
Stop existing. Just feed kids.
Just feed them real food.
People
why should
like,
they eat?
Why do kids only like chicken fingers, grilled cheese, and
those
cheese
pizza? Those are the only options for them.
That's all they eat, and that's like what they're told they enjoy. And like, kids will eat broccoli,
like, literally,
and edamame. Like, just feed them food.
I just think I've always been so confused by that. Is that my computer?
I think it is time to play another song.
Is my computer like whirring?
Or the air conditioning in here turns on. It's not your computer, it's the WMFO radio systems.
Okay, because my computer's fine, right?
Yes, your computer's fine.
Why is the AC on?
Because you haven't logged a song in too long, because this is a talk show and we don't play a ton of music.
Wait, what? Is the air conditioning supposed to condition you to play a song?
No. The air condition is supposed to keep everything cold and cool.
Okay.
But
the reason we can hear it is because there's no music.
Well, no. It turns on only when there hasn't been a new song
really?
In a certain amount of time. I think it's been 30 minutes since we played a song. We just passed the threshold.
Wait,
what? Yeah.
Does it... Okay, what?
Just play a song and log it
this
on Rivendell.
This is some behind the scenes, but what are we going to play?
Good question. Mona and I are always so on this, listeners.
That's a full lie.
We're always on the music, at least.
That's...
A little bit. Constructing an identity. Let's play Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson.
No, we have played that so many times.
Have we? I feel like we have never
played that song.
I know
exactly what to play. We have definitely played it.
Wow. This is a call out by Mona.
No, wait, I have it. This is some good behind the scenes. Listen, we're being our authentic
selves. I would like to say Mona is driving the ship today. I have never had the AC turn on when I've been.
But is it a bad thing to have the AC turned on? Why?
Well,
like, I'm not offended.
I think there's a stigma because if we have the microphones on, the listeners may hear it.
Okay, I'm so sorry to have offended our listeners by the AC.
I think it's just noisy.
Also, this is a talk show.
I agree.
Okay, I found the perfect song. I'm not even gonna introduce it.
Go for it.
reads that man as me. He knew him at a glance. That stranger he has found. This man could be my chance. Why should I save his hide? Why should I right this wrong? When I have come so far and struggled for so long. If I speak, I am condemned. If I stay silent, I am damned. I am the master of hundreds of workers. They all look to me. Can I abandon them? How would they live if I am not free? If I speak, I am condemned. If I stay silent, I am damned. Who am I? Can I condemn this man to slavery? Pretend I do not see his agony. The sinner sent who bears my face, who goes to judgment in my place. Who am I? Can I conceal myself forevermore? Pretend I'm not the man I was before. And must my name until I die be no more than an alibi? Must I lie? How can I ever face my fellow men? How can I ever face myself again? My soul belongs to God, I know. I made that bargain long ago. He gave me hope when hope was gone. He gave me strength to journey on. Who am I? Who am I? I'm Jean Valjean. So, Javert, you see it's true. This man bears no more guilt than you. Who am I? 2, 4, 6, 0, 1.
There's some weird stuff going on with the oxes. I'm super irritated, and I think it's because Noah's logged into my Spotify.
Because I
so
typically...
you should log out, because it's my Spotify.
Okay.
Log out.
Wow.
Give me my control. I'm too passive. I need to become... Haha.
I'm logged out.
Hopefully
the music will be louder now.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Very strange.
Okay. Anyway, that was...
Who am I?
I love this song. I play that sometimes. That one I play... And sometimes I play, what's the other one I like to play? The one about One Day More. Yeah, I play that sometimes when I'm like, when I have
when
one day more.
When you need a pick, oh, when you have One Day More.
You know.
Not just when you need like a good pick-me-up song.
No, I wouldn't say it's a pick-me-up song.
It's so empowering.
It is. And lame, it's weird that like Les Mis is what like Hamilton will be. Like it'll just become really like mainstream and like, you know what I mean?
True,
like
true.
Uninteresting and like overplayed. Like right now, Hamilton is still like Hamilton. Noah, we have to play something from Six. I don't care if it doesn't relate. I saw there's this new musical called Six. That is truly so good. We'll play... Ooh, what if we'll play the first song?
Why did you pick Who Am I? Outside of it just being called Who Am I?
No reason. Because we just needed a song and I was like, this is the one. Who am I? I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's a question we ask ourselves a lot.
True.
Who am I? Who are you?
Who am I?
You know when people's... Okay, you know what's so... Ugh. Something I feel like that connects to this theme is, like, resumes and, like, cover letters and bios and...
It's definitely a, like,
super presented...
Yeah. Very manufactured
version of
front.
Yourself.
It's like a front, I would say.
Yeah. I feel also, like...
It's so weird that in people's bios, they have to write in the third person. You know, they're writing about themselves.
Yeah. I think maybe when you're famous, people write your bios for you.
Maybe. Really?
I feel like when you're on Broadway...
No, those playbills?
You don't think so?
They fully... No, it's fully them, because they're always like, she would like to thank her mom, dad, and little doggy, Juniper.
You don't think at some point somebody is like, I'm going to write your bio. Who would you like to thank?
Yeah, but not in, like, playbills. Unless I'm wrong. Call in if I'm wrong.
Broadway superstars, please call in to WMFO 855-915-9636. Yeah. Hopefully Mona can pick up the phone behind her operating desk.
Absolutely not. No, 0% chance.
There's a nice manual on the wall, thankfully.
Oh, really?
Because nobody here knows
no one knows how to do it. Interesting.
But we know where the public file is.
I do know where the public file is. I don't know what it is.
Nobody does.
No one knows what. Yeah.
You're really getting an insight into the WMFO universe here today, listeners.
Yeah, I think that's like super in line with our theme.
I agree.
Our front stage and back. Our front stage selves are like us just doing the show.
The radio is completely a presented front where you only put out the sound that you want your listeners to hear and nothing else. And anytime there's an error, everybody's like, gasp. And it's like, oh no, we make mistakes in life all the time.
Mm-hmm. Like, also when you're listening, I don't know if you ever listen to these, but those like trashy morning talk shows on like pop radio stations where it's just them sitting and like chatting. It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
But like, I remember one over the summer, one of the channels, like this, one of the DJs was clearly like going through a hard time. Like, her and her boyfriend broke up. She didn't really have a place to live. She was like crashing people's houses. Mm-hmm. And every morning they would just like slam her. They'd be like, oh my God, like Corinne, I wonder if anyone's listening who knows these people. This is Amp 103.3. They're like, yeah, Corinne tried to crash at my house yesterday. And I was like, Corinne, I'm not going to let you live with me. Like, come on, get your own place. And then Corinne would come on and be like, guys, like, what am I supposed to do? And then they would like harass Corinne. I was like,
Is this
consensual, like, presented harassment? Like, they must all agree. Are they like, okay, Corinne, so on the next segment, we're just going to totally go after you, just attack you to your core. Then Corinne's like, yeah, sounds good. And then they do it, or, like, is it more, like, it sounds genuine just because, like, I can't imagine her ever being like, yeah, sounds like a good idea, guys.
Yeah, just trash me live on air.
But
oi,
I know it's, oh my God, those talk shows are something else.
Today we are going mask off, though.
I love mask off.
But like, is it better? Do you think our listeners enjoy it more?
Call in and tell us,
or don't.
Actually, don't.
You may not be able to answer your call.
I'm sure maybe one of my parents will text me. I love. Shout out, wholesome shout out. One of my favorite parts about doing this show is just the little text I get from my parents being like, I agree. Or like, yeah, sounds good.
Very sweet.
I feel like I was going to say, oh, sorry, one more thing about the morning talk shows. Just one of the hosts is so, so self-absorbed. And it's called the TJ Show, and he is TJ. But I'm like, TJ, you gotta back off. Anytime anyone talks to you, he's like, you know when you're so right? And the reason you're so right is... I'm TJ, and this is the TJ Show. And I'm like, wait, that's the same show. That's the show where they harass Corinne.
Oh my goodness.
So TJ will be like, okay, Corinne. Like, yeah, oh my God, it's all making sense. So Corinne will say something, and then TJ will totally make it about himself and, like, you know, just bully Corinne. And I'm like, interesting.
Maybe Corinne's going through a rough time, but TJ's a rough person.
You know? Truer words have not been spoken. A true linguistic studier.
Mona, sometime we need to listen to the TJ Show together.
You would hate it.
Sounds like I would hate every second of it.
It's so bad. And that's not even the worst one.
It makes my skin crawl.
The worst one, in my opinion, is Maddie in the Morning on Kiss 108, because they're literally all, like, middle-aged. And, like, I'm like, you need to find something better to do.
How do you get into
A
full career?
My favorite one is Carson and Kennedy, because they do not take themselves seriously.
That's nice.
They are so laid back, and they're just like, okay, on today's, they're a little bit more backstage. They're like, okay, so we put together this segment for this show. Here it is. Like,
they know that their job is not super serious and they just enjoy it, and I respect that.
On a scale of TJ to Carson and Kennedy, where do you put this show? On a standard show, not this week, but
what do you mean? This week isn't, I feel like
this week we're going full mask off.
I don't know. I feel like if we weren't calling attention to the fact that we were going full mask off, like people would maybe notice a little bit. Maybe they'd be like, oh, like they're a little more disorganized than usual, but like, is us pulling it, calling so much attention to it, mask on? Because if it was truly mask off, we wouldn't care. We'd be like, yeah.
Oh, like you're saying, it's like when people are like,
oh, I didn't study enough. Like, you know, like mm-hmm. trying to like justify.
Or when people are like, when people are trying to fight determinism, which is sort of like which is anti-free will, pretty much. Mm-hmm. People are like, people will do something random and spontaneous, like they'll throw their pencil and they'll be like, huh, was that predetermined?
Yeah,
and
oh it's my
like,
God, I hate
yes, it
that.
Was, because we're
I
talking about
I literally
this.
Hate that.
Very
That's
frustrating.
That's so true.
And it's like, I don't know, I feel like it's like that. It's like, are we really mask off, or are we just, by pretending we're mask off, we're like actually still having the mask on, we're just like...
Yeah, that's another thing is like when celebrities are like, no makeup, hashtag no filter. Excuse me. I'm like, this is still a presentation.
Yeah, like, if you want to be au naturel, like, just don't say anything about it. Mm-hmm. And then you're actually
yeah
more being authentic.
Oh, my God. I feel like the person... Oh, you don't really have social media, but the person with the best mask-off social media is Becca from our focus group. She often posts things being like, standards are fake. And a picture of, like, a chair. And I'm like, yes, Becca. Call it out. I love it. I love when she does that. It really warms my heart. Okay, I feel like I'm now going to search for a connection to Six because I want to play this song and I'm curious what you think about it. Six is a musical. Six is about... Actually, yeah. Six is totally about, like, the presentation of who you are.
Is this movie with a filmmaker?
No, it's a musical. It's not a movie.
Oh, okay.
It's live theater. It's
wow
about the six wives of Henry the Eighth.
Oh, I see.
The Eighth, and it's like them reclaiming their stories, but they're presented as like pop stars, and they're in a competition to see who can, like, it's like a sing-off to see like
who
had
the record label.
No, or? Like to see who had the worst marriage to King Henry the Eighth. But it brings up really interesting things of, you know, I mean, like female subjugation, but also like exploiting your trauma for public gain and like comparing your trauma to others. And like, yeah, it's a lot about like that presentation of like what you've been through for like an ulterior motive, which is really interesting. And it's cool because it's like a lot of the songs just sound like pop songs, which for me is exciting because I love pop songs. And even for people who don't love pop songs, they're like it's like, you know, considered like a really good musical. Mm-hmm. And this song is the opening number, and it's them setting up their concert. You see, I'm so excited to play it. I hope it is loud enough. If not, I can log back into my Spotify. Okay, this is Ex-Wives from Six.
Divorced. Beheaded. Died. Divorced. Beheaded, survived, and tonight we are. Listen up, let me tell you a story.
A story that you think you've heard before.
We know you know our names and our fame and our faces.
Know all about the glories and the disgraces.
I'm dumb, cause all this time I've been just one word in a stupid rhyme.
So I picked up a pen and a microphone.
History's about to get overthrown.
Divorced.
Beheaded. Died.
Divorced.
Beheaded. Survived.
But just for you tonight.
forced, beheaded, lied. Come to the show, to the history mix. Switching up the flow as we add the prefix. Everybody knows that we used to be six wise. Raising up the roof till we hit the ceiling. Get ready for that truth that will be revealing. Everybody knows that we used to be six wise. But now we're ex-wives.
You're gonna find out how we got unfriended.
Tonight we're gonna do ourselves justice. Cause we're taking you to court.
Every true rose has its thorns. And you're gonna hear him live in consort.
Divorced, beheaded, died.
Divorced,
beheaded,
survived.
But just for you tonight. We're divorced.
Was married 24 years, I'm a paragon of royalty. My loyalty is to the Vatican, so if you try to dump me,
you won't try that again.
I'm that Berlin girl and I'm up next. See, I broke England from the church, yeah, I'm that sexy. Why did I lose my head? Well, my sleeves may be green, but my lipstick's red.
Die. Jane Seymour, the only one he truly loved.
Rude.
When my son was newly born, I died. But I'm not what I seem, or am I? Stick around and you'll suddenly see more.
Divorced.
Ich bin Anna of Cleves.
Ja.
When he saw my portrait, he was like,
ja.
But I didn't look as good as I did in my pic. Funny how we all discussed that, but never Henry's little
prick out your ears. I'm the Catherine who lost her head.
Beheaded.
For my promiscuity outside of wed. Lock up your husbands, lock up your sons. Kay Howard is here and the fun's begun.
Survived. Five down, I'm the final wife. I saw him to the end of his life.
A survivor, Catherine Parr. I bet you wanna know how I got this far. I said, I bet you wanna know how we got this far.
Hey, so you wanna know how we got this far? Welcome to the show, to the history mix. Switching up the flow as we add the prefix. Everybody knows that we used to be six wise. Get your hands up, get this part.
Not so exciting.
That was a very fun song, and I'm sure a very, very
it's
fun
such,
musical.
Oh my, I am so obsessed with it. It's really crazy. I feel like one of those classic, you know, obsessed with theater.
Yeah.
It's very sad. Because usually I'm not like that. Usually I'm like, I'm above that. Like, I don't get obsessed with
you mingle musical. With it, but you're not obsessed
yeah,
with it.
Yeah, but with this one, I'm like, I'm full steam ahead. Like, I keep bringing it up in my classes. I'm like, in the musical six. But, you know, I think that's a good way to end our show.
Yeah.
And you're going to want to stay tuned because we had last year, the gentleman following us. Oh, my God. Now I can't remember what the show is.
Danny and Evan.
The Loud House? No.
The Lounge.
Oh, I thought you said The Loud. It's Danny and Evan with The Lounge. We haven't seen them in a while because Danny was out. He's grown a beard. But they're back now, and we're going to stick around
hopefully better than ever.
Yeah. Oh, I know better than ever. It was so fun to be back in the studio with them.
Yes.
And they're going to have... I'm so excited for their show. So we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Everybody, be happy. Live authentically or not, whichever makes you happier.
Aww.
That's my takeaway.
That's an interesting way to end. Okay,
this
on that note.
Mona and Noah Save the World, and you're listening to 91.5 FMW MFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Yeah.
Good night.
Good night.
How should I?
If I told you I got caught up in